Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay on Thursday, March the 27th. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Coming up, we've been speaking to the boss of the RBLI ahead of their chairman's sleep out tonight. Plus, we'll be hearing for the first time from the new Gillingham manager. But first, taking a look at our top story today, two teenagers have been arrested following a suspected stabbing in Ashford. It prompted a huge emergency response last night. Kate's got some more details for us and joins me now on the podcast. Kate, can you tell us where this all unfolded?
Yes, well, police were first called to the Bank Street area just before 8pm last night. Bank Street itself was cordoned off and witnesses told us police and paramedics responded. The air ambulance is also reported to have landed at a field nearby behind St Mary's Primary School opposite Eastern Avenue at around about 8.30. Now, police say they found two people with stab wounds at the scene and they've both been taken to a local hospital with non-life-threatening injuries.
And what do we know about the suspects?
Well, police have confirmed that two boys, both aged 17, have been detained on suspicion of assault. At the time of recording today's podcast, they remain in custody while inquiries continue. There is an appeal out for anyone who was in the area or who may have witnessed what happened to get in touch with police.
Kate, thank you ever so much. You can also see pictures from the scene by heading to the story online. Any witnesses are being urged to call 01843 222289. That's 01843 222289. You can quote the reference 46/50631/25. That's 46/50631/25. Or you can get in contact with Crime Stoppers anonymously on 0800 555 111.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories for you today, and an investigation's underway after a man reportedly exposed himself to a woman after pretending to be interested in buying a beach hut. It's said to have happened at Tankerton Slopes last Friday afternoon. He's been described as having a West Country accent. A Walden man has been banned from keeping dogs for life after being found guilty of causing unnecessary suffering to his pet. Six-year-old bulldog Caesar was severely emaciated and with a chronic skin condition in May last year. He's since sadly had to be put down. 20-year-old Harvey Jackson, who lives on the high street, has been ordered to do unpaid work, rehab and pay £240. His mother has also been banned from keeping dogs for the role she played in the neglect. Police investigating alleged thefts from phone shops in Sevenoaks and Tunbridge have charged three suspects. 60 phones and two tablets were reportedly taken from Vodafone stores earlier this month. Two men and a 14-year-old boy are due in court next month. Now, there's been a road closure in Dartford today following a serious collision. Watling Street has been closed eastbound after a crash between a car and a motorbike. It happened between Prince's Road and Gore Road, but there's no word yet if anyone's been injured. Next up today, a Kent politician who's been suspended from his party after a drunken tirade says he's worried about the impact it'll have on his future. Reform UK's William Fotheringham Bray, who was chairman of the Sittingbourne and Sheppey branch, made the video lashing out at another member. He since apologised and said it's a stain on his career that could be hard to shake.
I wanted to immediately start with an apology to one, the person who I'm accused of the misconduct, and two, to the party as a whole, who have caused an incredible amount of embarrassment, and I just wanted to make that one of my first statements.
Okay, well, fine. Okay, well, you were on the train. What happened?
So I was communicating with a group chat that I was a part of, which was filled with I don't know the exact number, but yeah, it was filled with young members of Reform, such as myself, and we were discussing the ongoing Rupert Lowe situation, and I felt, for some reason, I felt compelled to make a video of myself explaining a current situation that I was going through, and used less than savoury language to describe it.
Mm. Were you drunk at the time?
Yes.
How much did you have to drink?
Enough.
Okay, right. So, I mean, this was meant to be a small private chat. So how did it end up going, you know, virtually viral? And you were across the news. Well, how did that happen?
I suspect, I spoke with the people who ran the group chat, and they suspect that there was a bad actor got into the group chat and was monitoring the activity and just took it from there.
How many people were in that chat?
I don't know the exact number, but if I had to take a guess, I would say between 20 and 40.
Okay, so it's small, but it's not tiny. Okay, no. So you are where you're at. You've just started this interview at the top by apologising. I mean, you know, what was the immediate fallout as soon as you knew that this has kind of hit the newsstands, as it were?
Well, for me, I was absolutely embarrassed and mortified, and I only knew it could end poorly for me. And over the past couple of days, it has it's taken a severe toll on my mental health.
In what way? Can you describe that to me?
Well, first off, it was a great breach of my trust, because I thought, you know, I was speaking in confidence to friends, so it's definitely taken a toll on my trust, because I'm quite a trusting person. I like to think I'm quite an honest person. So I found that was, yeah. And so that definitely took a toll on it. And it was just so embarrassing for the world to see this part of me, which isn't me, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not who I am. It's just a mistake of mine that has gotten out of hand. And now when I go around in public, I'm thinking, oh, people are going to recognize me, and they're only going to see me for a drunk face they see on the news.
William was speaking on the most recent episode of the Kent Politics Podcast. You can listen to that episode in full by searching for Kent Politics Podcast wherever you normally download your pods.
Kent Online reports.
Investigations are underway to figure out how a school bus carrying children ended up in a ditch in Gravesham. Police were called to the A227 Gravesend Road near Vigo Village on the morning of March the 10th. Seven passengers had been on board, but there were no reported injuries. Well, Red Route buses have since confirmed the driver's been suspended, and they're using independent testing and reviewing available data to try to identify what happened. A Folkestone charity has been given the go-ahead to turn a former hotel into year-round emergency accommodation for the homeless. The Rainbow Centre put forward the proposals for the Hamlet Hotel in Shakespeare Terrace, which will replace their winter shelter. Bosses say the HMO would be for single adults over 18, and there's very low risk of disruption. A company that's emerged as a new rival to Eurostar says they intend to offer a service from Kent stations. Gemini Trains has revealed they'll be putting themselves forward as an alternative rail link to Europe, with Ashford and Ebbsfleet said to be on their radar. They've been developing the plans over the last 2 years and are hoping to launch in 2029. Eurostar services haven't called at Kent stations since the pandemic. Now, the RBLI is hosting its annual chairman's sleepout tonight, hoping to raise money and awareness to tackle veteran homelessness. Around 80 CEOs and managing directors from companies across the whole county are going to be spending the night sleeping rough. It's part of the Great Tommy Sleepout and is taking place at the World War One trenches at the Kent Showground in Detling. We've been speaking to Steve Robotham, who's chairman of the RBLI.
It's an event that we started actually 6 years ago in lockdown, when we were struggling for fundraising, and a few of us slept out in our gardens to try and get sponsorship to raise funds for the charity. And it's grown and grown and grown. Last year, we, from sort of 10, 15 people in our gardens, we had many thousands of people across the UK taking part, and we managed to raise over 1.2 million. So the chairman's sleep out is kind of a specific one where I bring together leaders from industry and other areas as well. And we've got a number of retired military people taking part. So it's there really as well as raising funds, really to bring the profile to the fact that we've got many people, veterans, sleeping on the streets, which is unacceptable. And as a charity, that's what we're trying to address. So that's what the chairman's sleep out is all about.
Now, just So that I've got it clear in my mind, when we talk about sleeping out, you mentioned sleeping in your back garden. Are we talking straight onto the ground? Are there tents? Have you got any luxuries whatsoever? How does the sleep out work?
Yeah, I mean, we try and make it as kind of realistic as possible, but obviously it needs to be safe for people. So we do provide some minimal materials, being some cardboard to put down on the ground, and some waterproof sheeting to put on top of people. But really, you know, it's not about people, you know, bringing along tents and airbeds and things like that. That really wouldn't be appropriate. This time, for the first time, we are having a competition where people are allowed to bring along a comfort item, which is a new feature this year. We're having a power hour where people can try and raise funds within a 1 hour period, and those that raise the most will get access to their comfort item. I'm not sure what they'll be, but yeah, that is a new innovation for this year. But we try and make it as you know, realistic as we can, but also clearly considering people's welfare.
Now, one of the other things I wanted to ask you about was the location of this year's event. So for the first time, it's going to be in the World War One trenches at the showground in Detling. I'm assuming that that's not a mistake. Obviously, that is a clear choice. Can you talk me through about why it's going to be there this year?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very interesting venue. And the last couple of years, as I mentioned, we did it at Fort Amherst, which was fantastic. And I love the place. I'd not been before. But everyone had been a couple of years. And we're trying to make this kind of an interesting and fulfilling experience for people. And so we thought it wasn't appropriate to keep going back to the same location. We've considered long and hard where else in the country we could hold this, but we decided that because we are a Kent-based charity, we're a national charity, but we are based in Kent. And the people that I was talking about, the companies that have become associated with the charity, are largely Kent-based. I mean, obviously Barratt and BAE Systems aren't. But it is local teams that have become closer to the charity. So we wanted to keep it in Kent because obviously people can't spend days travelling as well. So we wanted to make it convenient for people, but also appropriate to the mission of the charity. And our branding at the moment is what we've moved from RBLI. We've moved very much to the Tommy, the home of the Tommy. And of course, you know, the very closely associated with World War One and the trenches there. So we thought Detling was an ideal place to move to. So it will be interesting. I've never been to Detling. It will be an interesting experience, but hopefully people find it, very interesting and fulfilling evening.
Fantastic work they're doing. And as Steve says, it's an opportunity to change the future for ex-service personnel and their families.
Kent Online reports.
A Kent Animal Charity has issued a warning after seeing an increase in pedigree cats. The RSPCA in Canterbury say there's been a sharp rise in designer cats coming into care, and it could be down to owners struggling to cope with their complex needs. They want everyone to understand the responsibilities before taking on a pet. There are fears for the future of the Remembrance Sunday Parade in Canterbury due to the falling number of Royal British Legion members. Its Poppy Appeal organiser is due to stand down in June. His deputy is also retiring, and the building they used has been sold off. Now a recruitment campaign is underway to try and keep the group going. Plans have been put in to turn an iconic building in Dover into apartments. Waterloo Crescent is a Grade 2 listed property not far from the port. If approved, it'll be converted into 17 flats. A large part of Canterbury's Dane John Gardens is set to be closed off as a major revamp starts. It's going to take 9 months and is part of the city's £22 million levelling up fund work. We're told the pathway around the edge will be open, but the lawns will be out of bounds. This is an interesting one next on the podcast. A Bulgarian foreign student has fallen in love with Sheerness after being warned it was dangerous and one of Britain's poorest towns. Well, Ruman Lazev chose to move to the town after lockdown while he was studying at the University of Kent and was initially put off by reviews online. But the 29-year-old says while it's not paradise on earth, it's a close-knit community and its negative reputation has been grossly exaggerated.
Before coming here, I tried doing some research about the town and see what's online, and most of the articles I found were not the most positive, you know, not depicting Shibby in the best light. And when I came here, I didn't really see any of that. It was a very nice community. People have been lovely to me, even as a foreigner. I've never felt, you know, excluded in any way, quite welcoming. I think all these talk about how dangerous it is and how it's run down, I think it's just rubbish.
Perhaps you live on Sheppey or you visited in the past and would love to have your say. You can comment on the story by heading to Kent Online. Huge congratulations to a Kings Hill teenager who's been invited to join Mensa after getting the top score on the IQ test. 13-year-old Sophia Kot-Arkuri scored 162, which is the highest possible for her age. She eventually wants a career in computer science. And finally, former Bond girl Gemma Arterton's going to star in a new spy drama. Secret Service is a 5-part series for ITV. The Gravesend actress plays a senior officer who heads the Russia desk at MI6.
Kent Online Sports.
Football first up, and the new Gillingham boss is holding his first training session with the players today. Gareth Ainsworth arrived at Priestfield earlier this week following the departure of John Coleman, and he's been chatting to the club, particularly about the fans.
They've really gone through the mill, I believe, in the last few years at this place. I really do, you know, and you look at it, and really this season I was looking at it thinking, wow, no, that's not what I expected from Gillingham this year, you know, and so for them to pay their money in times of hard, I tell you, it's just, in times of living aren't easy now, but they still pay their money, they get behind the boys. All I ask them is to buy in to me, to Dobbo, to Brad and Shannon, because this is a new era now, this is a new 2-year journey that I want you to be part of. And as I say to every fan, that every club I've been, you'll get everything from me. And when you support us through the bad times, those good times, they become even sweeter. So thank you.
In an ideal world, what will a Gareth Ainsworth Gillingham football team look like in the long term over this project?
Absolutely shattered at the end of the game, because they've given everything. That will be a non-negotiable for me. If anyone leaves anything out on that pitch, I'll be asking why they've done that, because, you know, this is precious. Being out on that grass is absolutely precious, and believe me, I wish I could do it, you know, and I played a good amount of games. Some people don't get to play 50 games, 20 games. Take every single moment out there and make it yours and live it and own it, you know. That's what I want them to do.
Gareth will lead the side away at Harrogate Town for the first time at the weekend. The Jewels are still 19th in League 2. The weekend's opposition just 2 places and 2 points below them. Staying with football, and Maidstone's Alessia Russo scored twice as Arsenal reached the Women's Champions League semi-finals last night with a 3-0 second leg win against Real Madrid at the Emirates. They progressed 3-2 on aggregate to set up a last four tie against 8-time winners Lyon. And in tennis, Kent's Emma Raducanu has lost in the quarterfinals of the Miami Open, going out to fourth seed Jessica Pegula. It was the former British number one's best performance at a tournament since winning the 2021 US Open. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget to follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. Just sign up to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can also join Kent Online Premium. Now, that gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription. Whilst you're on the site today, don't forget to check out our latest Eat My Words food review, and we'll be back with the podcast on Friday.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.